Good evening and welcome to Primetime Sports Big Game. James McCarty with Jason Denman. And as we're approaching the Men's College World Series, the opening weekend of it here in the next day or two, it's officially set as to the eight teams that will be participating in it, the eight teams that have a chance still at a national championship, and of course all the excitement and festivities and everything that goes into what an event that gets put on like this College World Series that can last up to 10-11 days in the end, if you go the full distance with elimination games and all three games possibly in the championship series. But overall, a interesting field that it has been completely solidified, with one half of the bracket featuring two first-time attendees in 16th ranked West Virginia and Troy for a matchup on Friday at 1 o'clock. That those two teams, their first appearance ever in the Men's College World Series. One of the two will end up winning a game in the World Series before having a loss in their short lives in the College World Series to this point, and their opening matchups in that College World Series. Then also you have fifth-ranked North Carolina battling Ole Miss Friday at about 6 p.m. All these games, too, the whole entire tournament is on ESPN. So winner's bracket, loser's bracket, all everything is ESPN for the College World Series, the double elimination bracket. So the excitement will continue for the next 10 or so days with that. The other side of the bracket, the other four teams, it's an all newly revamped SEC affair, with seventh-ranked Alabama battling Oklahoma, which is a old SEC foe against a new SEC foe. Mm-hmm. That'll be a 2 o'clock first pitch on Saturday, and then another old SEC foe versus new SEC foe, and third-ranked Georgia against sixth-ranked Texas. That's a 7 o'clock first pitch on ESPN as well. So just a lot of high-level baseball to be played overall between West Virginia and Troy. One of those two programs is guaranteed to get their first ever Men's College World Series victory, and who knows what can happen in that tournament in the winners or losers bracket. For the SEC, even though two of the teams that are in it were not a member of the SEC two calendar years ago, even though they're historically pretty rich programs in Oklahoma and Texas, they helped the SEC round out to having five teams featured within their tournament or within the World Series tournament, which is crazy to think about out of the 8-team field. All eight teams, zero of which played in the World Series this last year. So they're all new teams in it. Although, for example, a team like North Carolina was in the tournament 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is new blood at this point. This is the first appearance, I believe, if I remember right, in 4 years for Texas. It's the first appearance for Georgia since 2008. It's the first appearance for Alabama since the turn of the century. I believe it was 1999 was the last time that they were at the College World Series. Of course, for West Virginia and Troy, it's their first ever appearances in it, which makes it exciting for them. North Carolina is now made it, I believe it's 9 of the last 20 years that they've been in the College World Series.
They're kind of every other year type.
And they've done a terrific job with their programs. And then Ole Miss and Oklahoma, a couple of programs that kind of come and go when it comes to making it this deep into the postseason. But it should still present some exciting ball and opportunities. And the tournament's been electric the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue it on. And I know that from past experiences that I've had at the event, I'll be there for the opening weekend again this year, where I'll be attending the North Carolina and Ole Miss game on Friday night. I'll be attending the Georgia-Texas game on Saturday night, and then on Sunday evening, I'll be going to that winner's bracket game, which is going to feature the West Virginia-Troy winner and the North Carolina-Ole Miss winner. So, not that maybe anybody even cares that I'll be attending it, but it does end up resulting in some pretty eventful, entertaining, and comedic type of stories that it feels as though, for the most part, only things that can happen to me in my life, while other people are able to enjoy and laugh. I like to think with me, but more likely than not mm-hmm. at me, which is nothing wrong with that either. So you got to have a little humility in life, otherwise. Oh, yeah. That's just you're not enjoying life if you don't have a little bit of humility with yourself and how you're going through it. But Overall, it's going to be an exciting, exciting final branch of that tournament, final leg of the tournament. And who knows? I mean, do we have a first-time entry winning a national championship? Do we have a program that hasn't been to the tournament in two decades plus win the national championship? Well, that's why you play this tournament, as we've begun to see with college football in recent memory. We've seen in different professional sports. We see it, you know, in not so much the last two or three years, but men's and women's college basketball as well, and, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it so darn exciting. So looking forward to another great weekend down in Omaha, and as of right now, it looks like the weather's going to be a little bit more accommodating than in years past, we're going to be looking at the 80s and maybe about 90-ish topping out for one of the days. The last couple of years, it's been in the mid to upper 90s, and that takes a toll on your body.
Oh, to say the least. So, all right, let's start with some questions that I have for you, Mr. Baseball Guy. We've got two brackets, as you mentioned. Obviously, the first game starting on Friday, West Virginia and Troy, getting things started in the afternoon, the evening session, then North Carolina, Ole Miss. That second bracket, Alabama and Oklahoma, followed up by Georgia and Texas. So let's start with the first bracket first, and maybe we'll kind of work our way through this one, James. So based on records, obviously West Virginia, 45-15 coming into the year. From what I've seen of them kind of in the regionals, super regionals, I think they've been hitting the ball really well. Troy ends up winning their bracket down south, I believe they were anyway. And they got past Arkansas Little Rock to make it to the College World Series. They're listed at 38-30, but obviously during this run in the regionals and super regionals, Troy's been playing pretty well, although they were the home team and the higher seed against Little Rock. So there's that game, and then the following game is going to be North Carolina 50-12-1. I guess they decided on just calling it a tie. They'll take on Ole Miss out of the SEC 41-21. So if you look at this, the brackets as they're set up in bracket one, James, my thought would be is that West Virginia's a favorite, North Carolina's a favorite, and maybe coming into the tournament based on wins, the fact they're playing pretty well, I think, is North Carolina the favorite to get out of bracket one into that College World Series championship series?
Overall, I would say yes with that. Okay. I mean, North Carolina, you have them as the highest-ranked team within that regional, but at the same point, you see through a couple of different, you know, re-rankings, things of sorts, mm-hmm. You know, based off of how the rankings are. North Carolina is the second highest rated team left in the bracket or in the tournament. And North Carolina, I mean, depending on, you know, who you talk to and how involved they are in college baseball or how invested they are, that's probably a better word for mm-hmm. You know, they played arguably the best pitching staff in the country in Southern Cal in the Super Regional, and they were able to survive that in three games. They weathered a handful of pitchers that are going to be pitching in the major leagues in the next 5 or 6 years. I mean, they were just absolutely incredible, and they battled through the adversity of that. Overall, you know, they're a team that has a ton of experience, of course, making their second World Series appearance in the last 3 years. They're the only team to return, actually, out of the entire field over the last 3 years, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. They've won their first game in 2024. A lot of players are back from that team that were younger for this upcoming, so it'll be interesting. So the biggest thing is with North Carolina is they've proven that they're gonna stand tall, they're going to compete, and they're going to work their tails off. They're a team that, when given the opportunity, has risen to the occasion. They haven't folded under pressure at all this season. So that really votes well for them. Of course, for Ole Miss, they're in the SEC. That is an absolute gauntlet. It is more or less, you know, for lack of a better term, it's on any given night, it's like a war zone in mm-hmm. baseball terms. I mean, it's just an absolute free-for-all. And of course, you know, Ole Miss went to the Lincoln Regional, and they had some tough matchups, you know, and they were able to find a way to get there. But then they had to go and play at Auburn last weekend, where they won a pair of ball games against the fourth-ranked team in the country. Three of the top four teams in the country, based off of rankings, missed out on this tournament, and it's because teams came in and upset them, Ole Miss being one of the teams that forced the hand and ousted one of those top four national teams. So, you know, they're a team that hasn't had, you know, the recent success overall, but, you know, they have one of the toughest 1-2 bullpen punches in the country. You're going to hear the names of Walker Hooks and Landon Waters. Those are a couple of young men that'll come out and they make life real tough. So it's going to be a fun matchup. I'm excited to watch that one between Ole Miss and North Carolina, and we'll see kind of how things end up overall shaking out for it. The other side of that, you know, that top point of the bracket, or that left side of the bracket, whatever you'd want to look at, between West Virginia and Troy. Well, this is, I mean, it feels weird because you have a power conference team in West Virginia, and then you have a group of team in Troy, right? Mm-hmm. But these are two teams that have not been here before. These are two teams that are riding the high of the tournament. These are two teams that their fan bases have shown up for in the entire tournament. And so that is going to be so darn exciting to watch. And just starting out with Troy, of course, because they feel like the true the underdog,
Cinderella, right?
Right, yeah. They are. They're, I mean, this is their first, this is something crazy. So they're 38-30 right now. They are the first team in men's college, in the NCAA tournament's history, to make an appearance in the College World Series, that eight team, you know, tournament, the final week and a half of the season. They are the first team to make the College World Series with 30 losses in a season.
Oh, really?
They're 38-30.
Huh.
And they've caught lightning in a bottle. They ended up winning the Sun Belt as a 29 loss team. They lost a game in the national tournament, had to come back through.
Yeah.
You know, and
win
survive
a couple
in
games,
advance.
Yep.
Yeah, they had to win a loser's bracket matchup and survive in advance. So, you know, of course, a lot of people would say they're the weakest team in the field, they're the smallest school, different things of those sorts. But
they're probably playing their best baseball the entire season, though. I mean, they've probably gone, based on if you lost a game in that regional, I think you end up having to win four games as opposed to three. So they're probably 6-1 over their last seven, plus whatever they did in the tournament for their conference. Mm. So, I mean, they could very well be playing the absolute pinnacle of baseball that they've been playing all season long right now, and there's no better time to hit your absolute max potential at this time of season. Mm. I mean, you don't want to do that in the beginning of the season. You want to do it now. Mm. So, I mean, for that aspect, I think they're in a good spot for them as a team.
Very much so. And Troy, so just for example, in their tournament, they went to the Gainesville Regional against eighth-ranked Florida. They actually played as the road team against Miami, Florida, lost in the first game of the regional.
Okay, yeah.
So they lost. Then they had to play Ryder, so they lost to Miami 10-5.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had to play Ryder in an elimination game where they went 15-7. Then after Florida puts up 22 runs on Miami, they have to play Miami again, Troy does, to try and keep their season alive. And they avenge that loss to Miami with a 9-6 victory. Whereas then, now they're in Gainesville, Florida, they have to win not one but two games against Florida back-to-back games and back-to-back days. They hang 16 runs on Florida in the first game winner's bracket style there, winning 16-11. Then in a winner-take-all, they hold eighth-ranked Florida as the road team, because they flip the way that they flip-flop it. They hold eighth-ranked Florida to two runs. And they win 10-2, advancing to the Super Regional.
Which that's when they took on Little Rock, which obviously I think, number one, their confidence is through the roof there. And number two, they get home field advantage in that Super Regional.
They do. And that's something that I don't think anybody had imagined for them.
No, not at all.
And they kicked the crap out of Little Rock. That's the easiest way to put it. They outscored them 19-4 in two games. It was 12-2 in game one, 7-2 in game two. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. And now they're in the winner's bracket. And as for West Virginia, just trying to, you know, condense it down here and then get to the SEC segment, basically, you know, the Mountaineers, I don't care what you have or haven't seen. If you have turned on ESPN, if you have went onto Instagram, if you have checked Twitter or X or Facebook or any social media over the last 2 weeks, you have seen, heard, witnessed. If you're a Pat McAfee fan or hater, you have seen, heard, or witnessed Country Roads, you have heard John Denver, you have seen the excitement of this fan base. I'm sure many have heard of the story that the that the Mountaineers sold out their Super Regional that they ended up hosting that they weren't anticipating to host to begin with, and they let fans in the outfield where there are there's no tickets, it's on a hill. After they sold out the venue, they allowed fans to just show up for free to watch and support
the
team.
That's right.
And
where
the AD somehow, I don't know if he got a grant from the state. I don't know if he took a pay cut. I don't know if this was a booster thing, but they were giving out pizza rolls to the nines. they were handing out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pizza rolls for those who supported them.
I would go just for the pizza rolls.
I mean, the fan base support they've had, the way that the Mountaineers have ridden the high of this national tournament has been so darn awesome to see. And so it's going to be interesting because, you know, this is a squad that not many people expected a ton out of. They thought maybe they can get out of their regional, but then they get whacked and walloped by UCLA. Well, you know what? West Virginia, they ended up having, because they lost to Kentucky initially, they ended up going to the loser's bracket in the regional, beating Wake Forest, and then beating Kentucky back-to-back games in a two-run and a one-run ball game against Cal Poly in that super regional. They left no doubt. They scored 29 runs in two games, only gave up three. 12-2, 17-1. They're playing good baseball. Their pitching staff is feeling it. Their bats are hot, and that's going to be an exciting, exciting team to watch in Omaha on their first go-around. So let's go take a quick break. We come back. We'll have a few minutes to diagnose the old SEC that squares off with a new SEC to try and stay in the winner's bracket.
Will an SEC team make the College World Series final?
Will an SEC team that was SEC before 2023 make the final? That's a question that
I would have. Whether or not an SEC team will be in the College World Series championship series. Do it.
Yeah, I think you'd probably win that because it's a guarantee. Even though it's new school versus old school. You're listening to Primetime Sports on WDAY Radio. Welcome back to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty alongside Jason Denman. With a few minutes left in tonight's show, it's all about the old school SEC versus the new school SEC. Yeah. As you have on Saturday afternoon in Oklahoma battling seventh-ranked Alabama. And then the evening session will feature a third-ranked Georgia battling sixth-ranked Texas. The old-school SEC versus the new-school SEC.
For those wondering, if you want to place a wager with a friend that maybe doesn't follow college baseball, bet somebody that there's going to be an SEC team in the championship series because that's easy money. So, number one, there's that. Looking at bracket two, James, that I want you to help us understand a little bit here. Alabama, you said seventh-ranked team in the country, 42-19 on the season. They're going to take on Oklahoma. By my count, they're 38-22 because the bracket wasn't even up to date when we had this in here as far as standings go. Georgia, the highest-ranking team in the nation, left. They're 51-12. One more win than North Carolina, who's in the other bracket. They take on Texas 45-13. So I guess my question is, obviously you can't count any four of these teams. They play in a very tough conference. But when I look at this, my gut is telling me, based on in-laws, obviously, I'm hoping for Georgia to come out of this bracket. They haven't been there, I think you said this morning, 2008, 2009, something like that.
2008, yep.
They take on Texas. Am I wrong in thinking that maybe Georgia and Texas are going to be battling for this one? Not to count out Oklahoma, not to count out Alabama, but I feel like it's going to be Georgia or Texas coming out of this bracket. Am I crazy?
I mean, it could be. Very well could
well,
be.
Well, I mean, that's beside the point. I'm talking about the baseball series.
Yeah, when you look at it, I would say the player who might be playing the best right now is the catcher for Georgia, Daniel Jackson, a big framed catcher who has now, after hitting a towering two-run homer that ended up putting them over the top in the Super Regional over Mississippi State, he has 31 home runs, 25 stolen bases this season, which no catcher has ever done that in a single season.
He's already been drafted?
No, he is up for the draft. Oh. He is projected to be an early second-round pick. First couple picks of the second round.
Minnesota Twins, maybe?
Very possibly. Oh, okay. The Twins are going to need a catcher in a couple years. I like him a lot, but I'm also a big fan of the Georgia Tech catcher, Von Lackey. That's a different story for a different day because Georgia Tech, of course, the second national seed got knocked off.
Yeah, because they're not in the College World Series, so we don't need to worry about them.
Yeah, but the biggest thing with Georgia is they won the SEC regular season for the first time since 2008. Okay. This is the first time they've ever won the SEC tournament.
Oh, they won
in
both?
Baseball, yep, which is interesting. They had a two-game sweep over Mississippi State where they scored 24 runs in those two games, and they hit nine home runs. And the most impressive part about it was how they worked counts. Every at-bat felt like it went four pitches minimum. A lot of at-bats were five, six, even seven. I mean, the starters were going 115, 120 pitches. You know, I mean, Mississippi State, they didn't get a chance to get that far, actually, right. Is what I should say. True. They were throwing 20 pitches an inning. They really were. I mean, they were working the count.
Is this what this Georgia team is, though? Are they a outscore you type of team? It seems like when you mention how many runs they scored against Mississippi State, how is the pitching staff for Georgia? Is that up there comparable with the rest of the
starters
teams here?
Are pretty solid.
Yeah.
Bullpen's an issue.
Oh.
We watched Georgia blow a 5-run lead in the 7th inning and on, to four, and Mississippi State forced extra innings. The bullpen, after the starter left after 7 innings in the 8th inning, after 6 innings in the 7th inning, they hit back-to-back-to-back home runs. Mississippi State did. Mississippi State hit 4 home runs in the final 3 innings.
Oh, wow.
Five home runs in the final 3 innings, if you include extra, after the bullpen ended up in the game. So
right.
Their bullpen is suspect, but their offense works opposing pitchers to try and even that score a bit. Georgia, overall, highest-ranked team remaining for a reason, and they're electric. For the squad that's going to counter them in Texas, this is a team that dispatched Oregon last weekend. I mean, they just absolutely kicked the living daylights out of them. And so they're back after a 3-year drought. They showed a little bit of cracking, though, in that super regional. Another thin bullpen for them.
Okay.
I mean, they gave up runs late, and that's what really was tough for them. But they're a very well-equipped program that's pretty dang fundamentally sound defensively, and they have a lot of high-leverage bats in their in their lineup, so that's exciting. And with a couple minutes left, you have the final
last
matchup.
Two teams in the tournament, James.
Yeah,
based on timing,
based off of how things went with Oklahoma and Alabama, and so these two squads, it'll be interesting. Alabama, they have the highest ranked prospect that's remaining in the tournament. So the 9th ranked overall prospect in the upcoming MLB draft is their shortstop Justin LeBron, who is a 21-year-old 6'2", 180-pound. Right-handed hitting shortstop that has had a terrific season. They got out of their easy region, and so they kind of walked their way into the super regionals where St. John's
pulled
played
the upset.
Them close, for a while, and they were able to get in. Alabama's a wild card to me just because they're a team that they haven't been here in 27 years, 1999, if I remember correctly. So they're a wild card team, but they're going to be exciting in that respect. And then Oklahoma, the other way, one of the other new age SEC schools, they're unranked.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have, by unranked, I mean they weren't a top 16 seed nationally. So they're one of the top 25, 30 teams in the country, but they just weren't ranked going into the regionals. This is interesting because Oklahoma had a brutal stretch in the month of May where they lost 6 out of 8 games, and they maybe were kind of on the fringe. Are they going to miss the tournament type of team? They find a way to squeak in, and you know what? It worked well for them. They end up in the Atlanta Regional. They find a way to get some wins over schools that included Kevin Marshall's going to hate me, but the Citadel. And ultimately end up going through the bracket, and they would end up beating Georgia Tech in a thriller, and find a way to get to the super regionals, and then to subsequently to the College World Series. So I don't have a ton on Oklahoma and myself personally and Alabama, but for those who are wondering, Oklahoma's bats have come alive. They're averaging just a shade under 10 runs. It's like 9.8, 9.9 runs a game since the national tournament started. Against 15th-ranked Kansas in 2 regional games, they beat them 8-1 in game 1, 13-2 in game 2. So, if you're talking about hot bats, Oklahoma is your team for it, though. Just for example, Oklahoma, they were held to 3 runs in a game that they lost to Georgia Tech in the regional. But before that, they put up 8 on the Citadel, lost to Georgia Tech, then put up 15 on the Citadel, and then needing to win 2 games against Georgia Tech, they hung 15 on them one game and 8 on them the other game. So Oklahoma, since the tournament has started, the pitching is for the most part held up, but even on nights it hasn't, the offense has been hot And I mean, they're white hot.
It kind of
they are. I mean, they're hotter than coals, man.
It kind of sounds like that bracket too might be some high scoring, exciting games.
It very well could be. The bullpens are in my opinion, the bullpens are more suspect in the SEC version of the bracket, and the offenses are higher leverage. And I think that's going to result in some incredibly, incredibly exciting matchups where you may see lower scoring on one half of the bracket, higher scoring on the other, but they're all going to be incredibly competitive ball
games. If you had to pick right now your College World Series championship series, I don't want you to have to pick a winner, but if you had to pick who's in that final, that best two out of three, who are you going with? And just for the record, everybody out there needs to know he's been wrong completely so far in this postseason.
For the most part, yes. I'm going Georgia and West Virginia.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
I was going to say that. I mean, North Carolina, I think it might be them out of that top bracket.
I think Texas is going to make me eat my words.
Oh, could be, but I got to root for the wife's home state, Georgia, J-A-W-J-A, go Dawgs.
Maybe it's the underdog. Maybe Oklahoma does it. I mean, if you're looking, if it's who scores the most runs, I'm going Oklahoma. But I said West Virginia and Georgia, I'm sticking to it. Have a great night. I will talk to you again tomorrow night. God bless.
Yep, you betcha. Bye.